Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today in the U.S., the church celebrates the memorial of St. Camillus de Lillis, transferred from July 14th, since on the 14th we celebrated the memorial of St. Kateri Tekakwitha. So St. Camillus was born in Chieti, Italy in 1550 of a noble family with a pious mother and a not-so-pious father. He was the only child who survived infancy. His mother died when he was just 12 years old, leaving him to the care of some relatives, since his father was a military man and often away, hardly ever at home. Camillus was left to do as he pleased, and so bad habits were acquired growing up. At the age of 17, he entered military service. His life up until then was rather disorderly, easily prone to laziness and of a violent temper. And he developed the bad habit of gambling, the effects of being associated with bad companions. To his credit, though, Camillus was always respectful towards religion. For the next several years, he lived as a soldier of fortune alongside his father until the latter died of an illness, thankfully repentant of his prodigal ways. And this was an inspiration to Camillus. He pondered it and even moved him to make a vow to enter one day a monastery. Camillus would eventually meet up with an uncle who was a Franciscan and sought to be admitted to his monastery, but he was refused due to bad health, a serious leg wound, and just not ready for religious life. Camillus then spent some time as a patient in the hospital of St. James in Rome to receive treatment, especially for his leg, and he would eventually volunteer his service there to help care for the sick himself. But his old ways and gambling and bad behavior led to his dismissal from the hospital. For the next 2 years, Camillus went back to the life of a soldier, first with the army of Venice, from which he was dismissed because of bad behavior, getting into trouble, almost getting into a duel, and then he moved on to the army of Spain, which lasted only a short while until his company was disbanded, leading him back into the world, back to his gambling, and having lost everything, reduced to a state of a wandering tramp with a companion. So one day, a rich benefactor friend of Camillus, noticed him with other beggars in front of a church and encouraged him to work for him as he was having a new monastery built for some group of Franciscans. And Camillus was definitely interested, but his companion was not. He discouraged Camillus from taking up that new line of work and risk giving up his carefree existence as a wandering tramp. And so these two walked off, on to their next adventure, when suddenly struck by the goodness of the offer, and the man's offer, and no doubt with a jolt of divine grace, Camillus turned around, ran as fast as he could to the work site to begin a new life, a complete 180. And so it was. He changed his life completely. He started this new line of work, worked very hard, usually with very menial and humble tasks, but all the while trotting along the path of conversion, slowly, gradually, being won over to the ways of God. He was particularly struck with the life and teaching of the Capuchins while there. And this led to his request to be admitted among them, and he was admitted as a novice. But this only lasted for a short while because, curiously enough, his leg wound, you know, would not heal, but only got worse during his time with the friars. So he had to leave, but he was promised to be readmitted when the leg wound would be fully healed. So this led Camillus once again to St. James Hospital in Rome for treatment of his leg and also for some volunteer work, spending a good 4 years there, during which he met up with St. Philip Neri, and St. Philip would become his spiritual director. At the end of those 4 years, Camillus tried to re-enter the Capuchins against St. Philip's advice, but the same thing happened. His leg wound would only get worse, and this time the Capuchins dismissed him for good. So Camillus went on to another group of Franciscans, the Observants, and was admitted among them, but he met the same problem. The leg wound would get worse, so he was dismissed. So finally, Camillus went back to the Hospital of Rome, and this time he did such an outstanding job in the volunteer service, caring for the sick, that he was made superintendent of the servants, you know, the nurses there. And during his time of work there, during these years, he discovered some important things. First, work kept him out of trouble, kept him away from idleness, away from temptation, therefore, and so many sins. You know, this is a very relevant and very practical bit of advice for all of us, you know, staying busy in a good way. You know, work, good forms of work, work that needs to be done, keeps us out of trouble, you know. He also discovered that serving others made him very happy, you know, to imitate Christ, who came to serve and not to be served. It made him so happy to dedicate his life and serving others, forgetting himself. And this also is something we can keep in mind too, when we stop to think of others' needs and try to care for others and not focus only on our own problems. And finally, he realized that good nursing depended upon love, Christian love, you know, especially when one puts into practice, you know, what our Lord had said, you know, you did it to me. When I was sick, you came to visit me. He also noticed that the clergy at the time and at that place in Rome were not on top of things when it came to serving the sick in the hospital. So he studied for the priesthood at a Jesuit college and was eventually ordained a priest to also administer spiritually, you know, to the sick. And with a few other like-minded companions, Camillus found a new religious congregation, the Ministers of the Sick, also known as the Camillians, who still carry out their good work today. Camillus spent the rest of his life serving the sick, especially the dying, and he himself died on July 14th, 1614. The church has named him, together with St. John of God, patron of the sick, of hospitals, of nurses, and physicians. By way of conclusion, we can note that, you know, his life of, you know, St. Camillus, you know, was really not an ideal life, and he was an unlikely candidate, you know, for sainthood. You know, these things were all against him, as it were, you know, to reach such a point as sanctity. And so it seemed, but God's ways are not our ways, and with God, all things are possible. St. Camillus's life proves that sinners, even great sinners, can become great saints, as God calls them to, calls all of us to. So thankfully, St. Camillus, soldier turned saint, surrendered, admitted defeat in a good way, admitting defeat to God, to Christ, and to his call, which we heard in today's gospel. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Jesus.